From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Professor Deepak Anand, Department of Management Studies, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashanthi Nilayam Campus. And in this talk, Professor Deepak talks of Swami's omnipresence and omniscience and narrates many of his personal experiences. He also touches upon many other topics like karma and free will and gives us Swami's perspectives on the same, which will be of great interest to all the spiritual seekers. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall in Prashanthi Nilayam on the 26th of April 2016. Stay tuned, dear listeners. After the talk, you'll be treated to some soulful music from the album God Lives in India by Bailey Sisters. And at 3:30 p.m., we will have the live Telugu segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. So over to Professor Deepak Anand.
Om Sri Sai Ram. Today, let me just let my thoughts flow on some experiences of Swami's omnipresence and omniscience. Because that what is probably is a critical factor that will link us to Swami. And there are so many innumerable experiences that come to my mind, which without doubt, which evidently can reveal Swami's omnipresence and omniscience in fullness. So let me start with a small instance that happened in Kodaikanal. And the two boys, one of them is still working here in Radio Sai, one of our students from the MSc and the MBA classes, and very good instrumentalists. In fact, a number of years back, before the bhajans would start, he would be allowed to play the sitar as a instrumental music, and then the bhajans will start. He and his brother both were there with us in Kodaikanal, and after Swami retires in the evening at around 6 p.m., 6:15 p.m., after giving us blessings and having dinner with us, dinner is at 5:30 in the evening. It's not at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. In Delhi, dinner would start at 10 o'clock actually, and then we'll go for a walk and sleep at 12. So all lifestyle has got disturbed. But in Swami's ideals, we should sleep. When the sun sets, we should go to bed. And 4 o'clock in the morning, we should, in Brahma Muhurtam, get up in the morning. So for millions of years, we have followed the cycle of the sun to routine our lives. Now, because of electricity and Newton's inventions and all TV and everything else, we are changing our lifestyle. But for a million years, genetically and biologically, we are all tuned by the cycle of the sun. After Swami retires in the evening, it is permitted that the students whose parents have come, relations have come, can go and meet them outside Sai Shruti. And so these two boys' parents also had come to Kodaikanal along with their elder sister. This was a Friday morning, and Swami had called them also for a dinner session, and Swami was speaking to them, sending message to them. So on the Friday evening, these two boys went and met their parents and the elder sister. So next day morning, Saturday morning, Swami asked these two boys, "Boys, how are your parents? When are they going back?" And in an extra exhibition of supreme devotion, sometimes we go a little overboard and say, "Swami, our parents have told that whenever Bhagwan blesses them, gives them the command, they would like to leave for Chennai." And Swami said, "Oh, is it so? Yesterday, did you not meet them?" "Yes, Swami." "Did they not tell you that tomorrow, that means Sunday, is your sister's chartered accountancy examination, and they would like to leave today itself?" "Yes, Swami." And Swami asked them a very simple question. "Where am I? Where am I?" So we may speak something, we may think something, we may do something, we may forget about it, absolutely forget about it. But God does not forget. Somebody asked Swami, "Swami, is it so that when you want to know about what this person is doing at this point in time, then you focus your consciousness and then you immediately it comes, you get to know that, you know, this person and this particular place is doing like this?" Swami said, "It is not like this. It is not a divided consciousness. It is a united, singular consciousness. constant integrated awareness is what I am. Universe is itself my body. When on your any part of the body, an ant is crawling or a mosquito is biting, summertime, a lot of mosquitoes can bite you. You don't require to focus your attention on that. Okay, now let me think about my hand where the mosquito is biting. You know it there and then, is it not? Similarly, the universe is the body of Bhagwan, and that is why when I was here and my father was already been called here, my mother was alone in Delhi. And in that building in a new colony, she was the only resident. You know about cases of old couples and jewelry and whatever they can find, robbers rob. And our house in South Delhi was notorious for that. Because in one side is UP, one side is Haryana. That means at the edge of Delhi, anybody can come from the other state, do something and get back, and this police has no jurisdiction to catch that robber. So many cases were happening in our locality, and mom was alone, and she was especially alone in that building she was staying, and I was scared for her. And I was telling Swami, I was holding a letter in a pocket, and I was trying to give that letter to Swami every day, you know, hold it and say, Swami, and Swami would not listen. And one day he cut across the lines and came to me and stood in front of me. So I took namaskar, I got up on my knees with a letter ready in my hand. And then I said, Swami. And Swami said, kya? Delhi ka letter hai? Stamp lagao, Delhi bhejo. Is it Delhi letter? Put the stamp and send it to Delhi. I said, no Swami, this letter is for you. Swami said, no, it's not for me. This is drama, Swami said, this is drama. I said, no Swami, this is a real problem, mother. And Swami said, so you have a prayer. I said, yes Swami. And Swami said, first tell me, where am I? We discussed about the two boys who wanted to, you know, tell Swami in extra show of devotion that Swami, we're waiting for your command. And Swami said, no, this is a conversation which happened between you and your parents yesterday evening. And I know, do you know where I am? Where am I? I was listening, right? So here also Swami said, this is not for me. This is to be stamped and sent to Delhi. I said, Swami, mother. Swami said, you have a prayer. But first tell me where I am. I think it's very important to know where Swami is. Then only we will be able to approach him and make our prayers to him. Then I said, Swami, you are everywhere. Now we have learned these answers by rote, not by experience. We have listened to other students giving some answers, and Swami has appreciated, so we know, okay, Swami is happy with these kind of answers, okay, let us also answer like this. This is all makeshift knowledge. This is only verbal knowledge, not experiential knowledge. So I said, Swami, you are everywhere. Swami said, yes, I am everywhere, but I truly live in the depths of your heart. We should all read the Narayan Suktam. It tells about the location of the Lord in Narayana inside us. He is Brahma, he is Shiva, he is Narayana, he is Indra, he is Skanda, he is Ganesha, he is everything. And where is he? He is the blue spark of light in the inverted lotus in our spiritual hearts, because of which we are alive, because of which we are functional, because of which the intelligence, mind and the body functions. That is why trillions of cells work in perfect coordination in our bodies, because that spark of light is there. Just like all these fans and tube lights are working, because that spark of the eternal electric light is there inside this. So it glows. It goes away. Wasted. It's dead. Just let me complete this. I'll come back to you. So Swami said, where am I? I said, Swami, you're everywhere. Swami said, yes, I am everywhere, but I truly reside in the depths of your heart. Oh, there's a beautiful revelation. And Swami said, that is why, leave your prayers with me in the depths of your heart. How we should pray? To whom? For whom are these prayers meant to be? Are these for the physical body of Swami, that we have to give him a letter for, so that he can read and get to know about our prayers? Is it for the intellectual Sai to whom we have to verbally argue with and say, Swami, this is my prayer and you must, you know, consider this because this is a very correct logic that I am giving you? Do we have to address the intellectual Sai? Do we have to address the physical Sai? Who really is Sai? And then Swami said, and I really reside in the depths of your heart. So leave all your prayers with me in the depths of your heart. And if you only have to pray by your lips, only say, Samasta Lokaha Sukhino Bhavantu. What is the meaning of Samasta Lokaha? Swami says, it is my body. Samasta Lokaha is my own body. I am Samasta Lokaha. At one time, Kasturiji was translating Swami's discourses. What a great and noble soul. A reverential pranams to him also. How close to Swami he was. And Swami would joke with him like a child and like a friend, take him along everywhere. And you know, sometimes Swami will ask him, get ready, I'll take a photograph, and there will come a mouse from the camera and he'll get scared. And Swami will say, oh, you are trying to be very photogenic, huh? Not required. No advertisement required for you, Swami. So close to Swami. And he was translating Swami's discourse. And Swami, during the course of his discourse, said in Telugu, Prapanchame na illu. Prapanch is the entire cosmos. Na is mine. Illu basically translates literally into house. But he translated, the whole universe, the whole world is my mansion. He did not want to say house in context of the avatar himself. God doesn't live in houses. God lives like the king of the universe in a palace. So he translated illu not into house but mansion. The whole world is my mansion, he said. And some looked towards him and said, wrong. I was wondering, where has he made a mistake? Then he thought, maybe I should have said, the whole world is my house and not mansion, which is not the literal meaning of illu in Telugu. And Swami said, no, not the world, the universe. Universe is my mansion. The universe is my mansion. And that's why Swami said, when you say, Samasta Lokaha Sukhino Bhavantu, that's an action that you have done. Every action has got a reflection and resound. Is it not? That reflection and resound in Gayatri is Bhuvah and Swaha. Right? Everything has is an action, is a reflection, is a resound. Right? So, and Swami said, literally the universe is a man. And when you say that Samasta Lokaha Sukhino Bhavantu, what is the reflection and resound? Sukhino Bhavantu, Sukhino Bhavantu. Is it not? When you talk about what is the greatest secret in this world, how do people who achieve, achieve? How do people who don't achieve, don't achieve? What is the secret? The secret is, what you believe you have achieved, you will begin to achieve. The secret is very simple. Many of the great researchers, scholars, psychiatrists, there's also a movie called The Secret and a book also is available. What is basically the secret? They say the secret is, whatever you firmly believe that you have become, you begin to become. And Swami says, say, Aham Brahmasmi. You don't say, maybe I am also Brahma. Then you will never start to become Brahma. You must say, I am Brahma. Then you will suddenly will start becoming like the nature of Brahma, which is goodness, positiveness, which is, you know, empathy, which is the giving nature. Right? Swami never says, the Vedas never say, you must say that Shivo, I am maybe like Shiva. Little bit, kunchum kunchum, like that. No. You say Shivoham. You say like that. The more the conviction is, the more quicker the process of starting to become. And it all depends upon the deep level of your conviction and understanding. And the understanding and conviction come really by experience. It does not come by listening to lectures or reading books. Books and lectures can be triggers. Books and lectures can be a starting point, where we start to think intellectually and say, hey, whatever he was telling, whatever this book says, or Swami's discourse, yeah, maybe there is some kind of a truth in this. Maybe I must explore more in this direction. Maybe I must try for a few days' time and see if it really works. At one point in time, we were all with Swami, and we had come back from Kodaikanal, and we were kept separately by Swami as good boys. Swami had given us accommodation. He was calling us every afternoon in the evening for either for lunch or either for, you know, alone with him in Trivindavan, swinging the swing of Bhagwan, the beautiful jhula, and we were having a gala time. So in the evening when Swami will go for bhajan and darshans, we were supposed to also go for bhajan and darshans, and some boys would while away their time reading books or going to the market and shopping. I thought, okay, we have heard so many things about spiritual practices. And let me just tell you this particular part very clearly, that when the avatar comes, when the God incarnates in human form, why does he come really? Swami says there is no free will. Only two free wills are there. Human being has been given two things which are in his arena of discretion. We do not have too much of discretion, but we have two free wills. It's like, you know, a cow is tied to the peg. You know, the rope is there. It's got a 1 meter length. Now how, around what is the diameter or the radius of that circle which is formed by the cow going around? 1 meter. That's all it is it not? Right? So that is the level of freedom. But just imagine, this particular cow, owned by a cowherd, behaves well, does not run away from the owner, remembers him, takes care of his needs, gives milk in time, grazes in time, does not pull and push against the peg too much, is very empathetic, very decent. That is why cow has always been considered a part of the family in Indian culture. If somebody is sad in the house, the cow sheds tears. And even if the rains fail, which is so often in India, even if you have a cow in the house, your children will be healthy. And that is why cow has always been considered a part of the family in India. And that is why this little bit of friction about why killing a cow is like cannibalism, which may not be in other cultures. But in India, it is more relevant. People are not being sensitive to it. Right? That is what the whole problem. Sometimes we are insensitive to other people's emotions. We go by too much of scientific logic. Animal is an animal. You eat a dog, you eat a cow, doesn't matter. But dog lovers will kill you if you eat somebody else's dog, is it not? Similarly, a cow is a family member for the human beings in Indian culture. So that sensitivity has to be there. So if the cow behaves well and doesn't misuse its discretion, what will the owner do? Let loose the knot and says, you're free. Go. Come back in the evening, is it not? Right? Because you're well behaved. That is the level of freedom that a human being has in a human body. So what is this particular freedom? Two kinds of freedom are there that is given to a human being. Only two kinds of freedom. And that is why the avatar comes, that we can use our freedom in correct discretion. And these two freedoms are that of doing sadhana and of a righteous attitude. These two only are our freedoms. Apart from that, whatever we have got from the bag of our past karmas into this life, we have to go through that in the same order. Only thing is, we can have the right attitude when we go through it. We may have pain but no suffering if we have the right attitude. We may have difficulties, but we may use them as stepping stones to success. We may have roadblocks, but we may use them for increasing our own stature and abilities to meet higher challenges in life. It depends upon an attitude. In a restaurant, it so happened that the big cockroach was flying and it went on, sat on a lady's head. And you can imagine the shrilling and the shrieking and the jumping and the turning of the table. Then, you know, all my sisters and aunties are here. If a big cockroach comes sits on your head, you know, this hall will be upside down, naturally. So the cockroach flew and went to another man's, and he went and sat on his plate. He was about to have his food. and there was that, you know, all the Colossus kiosks which followed. And a waiter just come, took his handkerchief, put the cockroach inside and gently threw it outside from the restaurant. Everybody had the choice to behave like this. But a person who had self-control, who had trained himself to meet such situations, was able to do with much more ease than other people. Right? And that is why a right attitude and sadhana. What is sadhana? Training. Sadhana is tapa. What is tapa? Tapa is heating to purify and solidify. When you want to make iron ore into steel, you have to heat it first. When you want to make gold jewelry out of gold, you must heat it first. Right? When you want to make the mud lying on the ground into bricks of high strength and tensile strength, you have to heat it first. We have to also heat ourselves from inside to be able to go through and meet the purpose of our lives. That is sadhana. And that sadhana, nobody can take away from you. If while going back from this particular lecture, when you go to your house, and if you want to chant Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram with every step, and if you see a dog, and you try to see a God in it, God's power working, if you see a flower blossoming, and if you feel this is Swami blossoming in this particular flower, if you see a cloud and you want to see that it is Swami's power, that trillions of tons of water travels by air without any ticketing, visa and passport across the globe. And if you want to see this, the power of Swami in that, nobody can stop you from doing it. These two are the free wills of a human being which Swami wants to inculcate in the right direction, and that is why He incarnates. And all this sadhana and all this right attitude is most easily transformed by the power of love. And that's why Swami goes on repeating that, what is the right attitude? Right attitude is love, truly love. What is the right sadhana? The right sadhana essentially boils down to only love in the end. Because love from the heart where God really resides embraces and brings together everything. It is the mind which divides into smaller and smaller pieces. And that is why sometimes we fall prey to all these sorrows, difficulties and problems, because we forget to love. We forget to understand that difficulties and problems and challenges and difficult people around us are all to make us grow in love. To make our love unconditional and selfless. Because our love is very, very conditional, shallow and snatchy and self-possessive. Me and mine. Everybody else is an outsider. Right? That narrowness of love is not true love. To expand that love, Swami gives us challenges of love. Come on, I will put a person in your path who will bully you, who will trouble you, who will talk about you behind your back. Now love him and let me see how strong is your love. I will put you under difficulties and ailments which will be very difficult for you to this thing. But still, you will have to love yourself in spite of those difficulties and challenges and ailments. Let me see now what is the strength of your love. Once we pass this test of love, all difficulties, all challenges, all ailments will vanish. But we have to first make ourselves strong in love. And that is the true sadhana. That is the best attitude. One word defines the best. And that is why Swami says, if the essence of my life has to be encapsulated in one single word, that only has to be love. And if you see Swami's life, we're talking about Swami's omnipresence and omniscience. Every time, it is only love, love, love that we see expressed in Swami's life, in every aspect of His life, in every moment of His life. Before I go further, one of our brothers has got a question. I think we should take that question and then go further. Yeah. Yes, please. Yeah, I think that story also needs a completion, conclusion. And so, when Swami told about this and said, where am I? And if the universe is my body. And when you say samasta loka sukhino bhavantu, sukhino reflection and resound also comes. Then Swami says, I will fulfill the prayer in your heart if it is good for you. If it is good for you. So, whatever comes after we have prayed in the right way. And what's the right way? Right way is to keep our prayers and problems and difficulties in our depths of our heart with Swami and say, Swami, Samasta Lokaha Sukhino Bhavantu, Sukhino Bhavantu, and Sukhino Bhavantu only will come back to us as reflection and resound from the universe. Thereafter, after a few prayers, Swami did allow my mother to come and said, see, without my telling, she is in a government job. The processes of resignation and then salary, pension, all that takes time. Government offices is very difficult. Swami knows everything. And Swami said, let her, it will take her 1 year's time to get through all the processes. After that only she can come. So it happened like this. So the best prayer, what Swami says, is this only. Samasta Lokaha Sukhino Bhavantu. And see, in the life of Swami, I'll tell you a few more instances how Swami's omnipresence is perfectly exhibited, that even if we forget, somebody may say this was a prayer, it was in your mind, maybe Swami is a great Mahatma, he is an, avatar purusha, he can read your mind, right? And then he can tell you what is in your mind and he can reflect that. But no, let me tell you one particular instance where when I was sitting in the darshan time in the year 1999, at that time, along with me was another brother. Swami suddenly came to him and said, hey, your mother is diabetic, but she's taking sweets. Now, after darshan, go and give her a call and scold her on my behalf. Scold her strictly on my behalf. He said, okay. And he looked towards me and said, hey, what is those foolish thoughts that you wanted to get your dentures set right and, take a modeling assignment? I said, never, Swami. Hey, don't speak lies. You thought like this. I said, okay. And Swami went away after blasting me for, I don't know for what reason. I never thought of taking any modeling assignment ever in my life, or denture. I mean, my teeth of course are very haphazard because of a voracious sugar eater. When mom will say, go and fetch milk. Oh, I would love that. You know why? First of all, I will take a big box and fill it with sugar. Raw sugar. And the whole journey I'll keep on eating sugar, raw sugar. And teeth will grow in all different directions. And every time, one Dr. Gulati was there in Delhi, really, he pulled out with so much of pain, I will never forgive him in my life. So, this used to happen. Yes, Swami said, you go and call. So, this fellow went and called up his mother and I asked him, hey, what happened here? You called up your mom? He said, yeah, she's been taking sweets when she goes to temple. They give prasadam, nice prasadam. Prasadam bhaktas are so many of us, right? And secondly, when somebody comes to our house, she will offer some tea or sweets. She will also take a little, just to give company to the guests. They should not feel bad. And when she take kids for, to the market to have ice cream, and she also will take a few bites from the child. You should not eat so much bitter. Give me a one or two bites. And she will take sweets. And Swami came to her dream the previous night and said, you are not agreeing to what I am telling. I have been telling, don't take sweets. Tomorrow, I will tell your son to give you a call and scold you. And next day Swami told his son and said, give you a call to your mom and scold her on my behalf. See, how the waking state, the dream state, all are his playing grounds. There's no difference because he's omnipresent and omniscient. And then I was thinking, whole evening I was thinking, arey, what is the denture problem, modeling assignment? Oh, I can't recollect at all. Deep after the evening bhajans and the dinner was over, I was taking a walk in the Hillview Stadium. Then I recalled the episode. It was at the end of the first year of my BCom honors course in Delhi University. And I was sitting with one of my friend, another boy from my class. And I was asking, hey, what's your plan for the holidays? Now we have 2 months vacations. So what is your plan? He said, see, I am going for this particular place and I'm going to hill station. I'm going to enjoy. I said, wow man, you've got a lot of pocket money. I can't afford all this. He said, no. I've got some pocket money, but I'm making some more money. How are you making some more money? He said, see, there's a small modeling assignment. It's only for 3 or 4 days time. 4, 5, 6 hours work, morning and evening. And at the end of 1 week's time, you get a handsomely paid fees. And he looked towards me and said, hey, Deepak, your face cut is not too bad. Only thing is your denture is very haphazard. If you get your teeth aligned properly, maybe you also have a chance. Why don't you get it checked up? Not thinking much, I went to a dentist next to my college and I told him, "Doctor, I want to try for a modeling assignment. Can you set my denture right?" He says, you know, the question he asked me was, "Are you mad?" I said, "Why?" He says, "If I put the braces for you now, they'll be there for 6 months. And I will remove 4 teeth of yours from the end, your molars. And then I'll put braces for 6 months. And you say you want to have assignment next week. Now how it is possible? Do you want to do your assignment with braces?" I said, "Wow, logical. I mean, I just forgot about it and came back home. And I forgot everything about it." 7 years later, sitting in darshan, Swami blasts me for a thought like that. Now, where is Swami? The question is, where is Swami? In the depths of our heart. Why he is listening to everything? Why does he know everything? It once so happened that my name was not there in the Kodai list. And I was in Puttaparthi, Swami had left and I was crying. The best place to go when you have to cry alone is Hanumanji, there on the hilltop. Students are allowed to go, so you know, we'll take advantage and go and shed tears around Hanuman, chant Hanuman Chalisa 9 times, otherwise 18, other 27, multiples of 9. As much are required to please Swami. One day some devotee said, "Swami, I have been praying to you for such a long time. You have not answered my prayers." And Swami said, "You come to me like this, you have no passport, no visa, simply you just walk in like this and say, 'Answer my prayers.'" And he said, "Swami, what is the meaning of this passport?" And Swami said, "Go to Ganesha first, get your passport issued. Then go to Hanuman and get the visa stamped. Then come to me, I'll answer your prayers. Follow proper procedure." Are these different from God? All these deities, all these forms of God are Swami only. Innumerable times. Once it so happened, I was not able to perform well in a particular lecture. In the program to be held in front of the vice chancellors of various other universities in the Kulwant Hall, and it was about the value system of our institution and the Gram Seva project. And Swami said, "See, don't give lectures, it will become boring. You have conversations. You have 3 pairs who will converse with each other. Question and answers, I share, you share, you tell, I tell. It will be more interesting," Swami said. "But the question is, if it has to be conversational, then I must remember my lines exactly. I should know which word I will end and he will start. And I should remember which word he will end and I should start." Now it became like more of a mechanical than from the heart. And I forgot my lines. One day before the final presentation in Kulwant Hall in front of the vice chancellors of other universities, practice in Poonachandra, I forgot my lines. Our vice chancellor sir was very fear stricken by my forgetfulness. And then I was praying to Swami. I said, Swami, if tomorrow there is some mistake and I forget my lines, then Sai Ram, I will never be able to forgive myself for putting you to embarrassment. So what do I do? Last evening I have forgotten my lines. Next day morning is the program in the Mandir Kulwant Hall. What do I do? If you have nowhere else to go, go to Hanuman. So I went to the Hillview Stadium, shedding tears, telling, "Oh Hanuman, this is a matter of even your respect for your Lord Rama, okay? It is not different from Sai Rama. So you have to help me. But I promise you, if you help me and I am able to perform well tomorrow, for the next 7 days, I will come every day to Hanuman and take 9 rounds. This is my promise. This is the bargain, you know, the business deal between you and me. Let nobody else know. If tomorrow I don't forget my lines, next 1 week's time, I will every day come to Hanuman and take 9 rounds. Chanting Hanuman Chalisa. I started, and next day the program went off so well, unimaginable. Swami kept his Abhayahasta on all our heads one by one, took photographs individually in the group. He blessed us profusely. And I was so happy and thankful to Hanuman and said, "Hanuman, now that you have kept your part of the promise, I will keep my part of the promise. Tomorrow morning onwards, I'll start coming on top of the hill and take 9 rounds. So I finished 6th day, 7th day, I finished my 9 rounds, and then I was looking towards Swami's Poonachandra, and I was saying, "Swami, I have kept my promise, I did what I had promised to do, but Swami, I don't know, did you receive, do you know?" Okay, anyway, I think Hanumanji at least knows, right? We saw the Hanumanji getting built, with mortar and steel and everything. Okay, which Hanumanji has received it? Yeah, this is mortar and bricks. And the real Hanuman may be somewhere with Swami, maybe. Okay, all these confusions are happening. Where have my prayers gone? Have they been received? How do I know that my prayers have been received? They have been sincere from my side, but are they up to the mark? Did they satisfy you? I don't know. So I am thinking like this, and I start coming down. It was early morning time, and today there was a college, regular college, starting at 8:30. Already it's 7:55, 8 o'clock. I have not had my breakfast, I have not taken my bath, I am still going around Hanuman, and alone, nobody else is there around me. So the moment I start coming down, I hear the siren of the police jeep we used to follow Swami's car. The Swami started for somewhere. Then only the siren of the police jeep had started. There was one VIP who was not well in the super speciality hospital. Swami was every day going and seeing him. I thought maybe Swami is like usual, he is going there. So I started coming down, came a little down further. And then I saw that the siren of the jeep is becoming stronger and stronger. And then I peeped up and saw Swami has entered the Hillview Stadium. I said, okay, I am on the hilltop coming down. Swami normally will take a round of the Hillview Stadium, this Shanti Vedika side, and then go back. So I started coming a little more down. Where there is statue of Shirdi Sai Baba in the Hillview Stadium, near Krishna. I reached there and I saw Swami is coming up the hill. And there is nowhere to go. And I'm trying to hide myself. I said, okay, let me not be seen by Swami at 8 o'clock in the morning alone here. Right? Not having my bath and breakfast. And 8:30 is the college time. If Swami sees me, he'll certainly scold me. What are you doing here? Don't you have any sense of timing? So I tried to hide myself behind a rock. So Swami's car came next. And just in front of me, it stopped. My heartbeat also stopped for a while. Yes, Aaj, there will be certainly a session of scolding from Swami now. What are you doing here? Are you bunking college or what? You just don't know because Swami knows everything. But indiscipline, not accepted in any kind. So the car stopped. The window came down. Swami's face looking very serious, very serious. I thought, gone. Today, Vibhuti. That is the end of me. I could hardly move, but with great difficulty I ran up to Swami and folded my hands in the posture of forgiveness. And Swami asked me one particular question in Hindi and said, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Very strictly he asked. So in the moments of tension and moments of risk, truth comes out. Is it not? Right? Swami is the biggest lie detector. You cannot speak lies in front of Swami. It is impossible because he knows exactly what the truth is because he lives in your heart, in the depths of your heart. And says, Swami, I came for doing pradakshina to Hanuman. Suddenly Swami's contours totally changed. He became so happy, smiled broadly, put his habe asta and said, very, very, very happy. At that very moment, Swami's car went a little ahead, turned behind Krishna and went back to the mandir. And I didn't understand. Having come all this distance to Krishna, why has he not gone up to Hanuman? He should have at least gone up to Hanuman, coming 3/4 away up the hill. And there was some rumor about 1,000 pillar temple will be built and this thing and that thing. So I thought maybe Swami has come to evaluate the land and give instructions for the construction of the temple. But Swami just turned back and went back to the mandir. He didn't even go to see the VIP who was in the hospital. Okay. Evening Swami calls me, another research scholar and the Vice Chancellor. And Swami is talking to the Vice Chancellor about some official matters and we are keeping safe distance like good boys. And there are no elders, then we become real boys. Hold Swami's hand, take liberty, ask him questions, the Swami will give something to eat, we will do something with this thing. And all these beautiful moments will be there, but in front of the elders and VIPs you are like, safe distance, good boys with folded hands, good, very, very well behaved boys. So we were all sitting and then Swami suddenly looked towards me and said, hey, you like Hanuman? Of course, he has answered my prayers, he always does. Why should I say no? Sai Hanuman always does that. And then Swami immediately materialized a chain and a pendant of the replica of exactly the Hanuman on the hilltop. And then Swami called me close. I bent down my knees. My elbows were on Swami's knees. Swami was tying this particular necklace for nearly 2-2.5 minutes. And then Swami whispered into my ear, which nobody else could have heard. And Swami says, "Ni prayers vachindi. Your prayers reached me." Now where is Swami? He is coming in the morning and telling that his prayers, that the prayers offered by me, and that my confusion about Swami, where are you? Who is receiving these prayers? Is it you or somebody else? Is it Hanuman here on seventh heaven? We don't know. And Swami said, "Your prayers reached me." And gave the replica of the same Hanuman on the hilltop. We have to believe in the omnipresence of Swami. Swami is omnipresent. Swami is listening at the moment of time to what we are discussing now. Swami is present with us in the depths of our heart for each one of us. Because of His being there in the depths of our hearts can beat, our minds can work, our limbs can move, our eyelashes can close and open again. Otherwise it is impossible for it to happen. That's why one boy was telling Swami, "Swami, you say all is God's will, but I can do whatever I want, Swami. I can go, play, run, study, lift my hand, lift my leg. I can do anything, Swami." Swami said, "Try and lift your hand now." And the hand got stuck on his own lap. And as much strength he would apply, that hand would not move. And then Swami said, "Without my will behind your will is zero. Without my will behind your will is zero." You close your eyes, you can't open it again. So every time our eyes open again, after we wink, we should remember Swami and say, "Swami, thank you. Our eyes opened again. Today one more meal we are having, which you will digest. Our lungs are breathing, our heart is beating, our liver is functioning, our intestines and stomach are digesting everything, our limbs are moving, our intelligence is working. Why? Because every moment it is your will which is making it happen. And the essence, see, the misnomer about karmic, everything we keep on telling karma, 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 karma. What is this karma that we feel that we are bound by? There is no karma. There is no karma for those who believe that it is not they themselves working, but God working through them. There is no karma. Arjuna killed 1,000,000 people by bows and arrows. I mean, it's not like nuclear bomb dropped once and matter finished. It is, you have to kill one person by one arrow, and you know, sometimes you have to cut the limbs, sometimes you cut the ears, right? But even then there is no karma. Why there is no karma? Because you have let go of the doership. You understand that by, if your hand rises once and your tongue speaks once, it is not you who are speaking. You are being spoken through. You are being walked through. You are being seen through. You are being listened through. You are being thought through. You are not thinking, speaking and listening. You are being thought through, listened through, walked through. What's the nature of a puppet? What is the free will of a puppet? We have got worse free will than that. So that understanding, if we have, there is no karma. We will be free from all the karmas. There is no bondage. Because if you think you are the soul, who is the spark of the super soul, which is ever free, omnipresent, omniscient, then there is no karma for you. There is no bodily repercussions of what your body does, because you are not the body. There is no repercussion of what your mind does, because you are not the mind. You have understood it. But understanding truly comes through an experience, and that is why sadhana. And Swami, you know, motivates us to do so many sadhanas. Some people love to do namasmarana, some people love to do pradakshina, some people love to go on pilgrimages to mountains and Himalayas, some people love to do deep meditation, some people abiding in the self, some people want to do kriya yoga, some want to do some other yoga, jnana yoga. There are so many pathways. What is the end result of all this? Dropping of doership. You are in a drama. Right? You are in a drama and you are an actor. Right? Let's try to see it once again. I give the example of the cow. There is a little free will, but most of it is not free will. Right? The length of the rope is decided by the owner of the cow. He decides in which circle you can operate, right? Similarly, to a large extent, Swami says we have got karmic balances. We have got innumerable lifetimes. It has been scientifically studied by our great researchers called the sages and saints and maharishis that a human being generally to become godly oriented and leave his animal tendencies from which he evolves and become human and become godly and divinely oriented takes at least 6 lifetimes to really become a human and think about God and God realization. Right? There is a certain time that we take to let go of this. They say there are 84 lakh animal species through which we come and evolve. So all these tendencies cling with us. If you see, look around, you will find this fellow would have evolved from a tiger. Everybody comes, he wants to bite his neck. This last life he would have been a cow. Such a nice and a genteel nature and all that. Certainly, this is must be his, you know, evolution, this thing from a cow. Some people are like that. So you can make out, see, it is, human life is not constant. It is an evolutionary process. And that is why, and all these samskaras stay inside us in subtle form. What we call a subconscious mind. Right? Subconscious mind stores the impressions or the net effects or the samskaras, as we say, of many of the previous lifetimes. Now from all this, which is our Sanchita, we pick up a handful, what we can handle in this lifetime. Because this needs to be negated. This needs to be lived and overcome. How it is overcome? Only by exposure it is overcome. By overcoming, anything is overcome. What remains dormant is never overcome. That is why in human lifetime, we as souls bring in such experiences, such people, such bottlenecks, such difficulties in our life. We invite them as souls. It is not God's curse that we have got difficulties and problems and ailments and other people who are nuisance to us in our life. It is not they who have come. We have invited them to our life because these animal tendencies, anything can be overcome by overcoming only, not by hiding under the carpet. And that is why a human soul decides upon to bring a lot of challenges into its own life and say, let me overcome. Because all this is not human. All this is animal tendencies which I must overcome now and move towards divinity. Right? So I bring a handful of that in this particular lifetime, which is called my prarabdha. Prarabdha is like a film shot and displayed. Wo film shooting ho gayi, abhi film ka show chalega. That is prarabdha. In that, what is the free will that you have as a witness? Two fools were sitting in a cinema hall and watching Jurassic Park. One of them, seeing the dinosaurs, hid below the chair, got so scared. Other fellow said, "Hey, buffoon, are you mad? This is only a film." He says, "I know it is a film, but dinosaur doesn't know it now. He may still eat me." So, what is your attitude? What is the level of your understanding of what you are going through? That is your free will. You may witness it and enjoy it. You may hide under the chair and feel scared and tremble. So, that attitude is our free will. Now, you would say, that is that also not God's will? Okay. Once you become the director, you will see how subtly He has even moved your emotions. But till that time, you become the director, you don't talk about free will, okay? Till you are the actor, think it is God's will only which is happening and it is for my good. Whatever scene is coming in front of me, it is for my good. There may be a scene of a very violent nature, but it is good. I must overcome my violence. There may be an event of greed and somebody is robbing somebody else. Then you should not get very this thing about the robber. Oh, what a fellow he is. Doesn't have any common sense. He's robbing other people. You should feel, I should be able to overcome my robbing tendencies. Right? So your attitude, somebody may say, Baba, he's robbing, let me also do a little bit. No, what is this? What a good inspiration. That is your attitude. Somebody will say, this is my attitude. I will never do a robbing again because it's a bad thing. In one family, there were two sons and the father was drinking. And one of them never drunk in his life. Other boy always became a big drunkard. So when they meet each other after many years, and one of them is in pitiable condition, like a vermin in the drains, and he is drinking and falling down in the drain every time, and pigs are running over him. Other fellow has become a great businessman, a value-oriented person. He is doing social work. People are very happy. They make him the prime minister, and they both meet once again. And the fellow who had always became a drunkard, he asked his prime minister brother, hey brother, when our father was drinking every time in the house, how come you have picked up not non-drinking while I became a drunkard? He says, this is my attitude, this is your attitude. In that we had, circumstances were same. In one particular classroom, the same teacher, same classroom, same subject, same book, same examination, one boy fails, doesn't even get 40% marks, one boy gets 95% marks. What is the difference? Prarabdha were same, to sit in the same class and understand. Now all of you are sitting here. Some people will be feeling, when will this get over? Let us go back home, we are already feeling hungry. Right? Some people will be feeling, Abba, Baba, what a nice this thing it is. Let us make good use of it. Let us learn something from this particular lecture and take it back and put it into practice in our lives. It is all depends upon your attitude. Get the point. Now your attitude decides your future. The agami. What is agami? Agami is what is remaining of the past, and of this particular balance of this life will again a carry forward balance in your next life. Right? Who is deciding about your future? You are deciding. In this particular life, who is deciding upon your attitude? You are deciding. Who is stopping you from changing your attitude? Who is stopping you from becoming a good, better person? A fly comes and sits on Swami's feet. Nothing happens to it. It remains a fly all his life. Another person touches Swami's feet and merges in Swami. It depends upon the attitude. It depends upon the level of understanding. That is why do satsanga. Always scriptures say, oh, do satsanga. When somebody is speaking good, when somebody is sharing experiences, go and sit and listen. Contemplate upon. Just listening is not important. Contemplation on what you have listened and imbibing and practicing that in your daily life is more important. That changes your attitude. Then next time when dinosaurs come, you will not hide below the chair. You will sit up and say, wow, what a beautiful work of art. What a beautiful computer graphics they have shown. It is excellent. I really appreciate the computer graphic designer who has made this Jurassic Park movie. It is all unreal, but looks like real. Only 3D. But in this lifetime, we are seeing a ND. Maybe 10D. Right? And we feel all, it is all real. It may not be real. That is why when somebody gets God realization, he becomes an outcast. People don't understand him. Christ is crucified. Socrates is given a cup of poison, including Mirabai. Why? People never understand. For a person who has awakened, the people who are sleeping feel that he has gone mad. And the person who has awakened, the people who are sleeping, he feels all these people are still mad. When will they awaken? They're living in a virtual reality. They're seeing the 3D movie of Jurassic Park and getting scared and running about. Are it's only computer graphics made by an artist sitting on a computer. What is there to be scared about? Let's see and enjoy it. This is the way the attitude changes. That is why when Krishna asks Kunti, Kunti, what do you want? I am the Lord of the universe. I'll give you whatever you want. He says, Lord, give me difficulties, tribulations, problems, all challenges, all sorrows. Krishna says, why? Because then only I will be moved away from this ephemeral, non-existential Maya. And always take refuge in you who are the only reality. You are the creator. And this whole creation is your reflection only. Is it not? Swami said that. Did Swami not say that I really live in the depths of your heart and the universe is my body? What's the meaning of a body? It's a reflection. The dinosaurs in Jurassic Park is the reflection of the mind of the creator. It doesn't really exist, but it looks like that it exists. And what does not is not seen and seems non-existential, that actually exists. It's basically zeros and ones in a computer. That you are not able to see. But that actually is the reality. But you look at the image and seal, this is the reality. So, by the right attitude and sadhana, we can cancel all our future agami and go back to the source. If the push of one ball in a snooker is too fast and powerful, small pushes and pulls from other balls doesn't make a difference. It goes straight to the goal. In this lifetime, you have that opportunity to overcome all your past and cancel all your future and go back to the source in merger and oneness with Swami in this very lifetime. And that is only possible by realization of two things. One thing, Swami is always in the depths of His heart. We are not living, we are being lived by Him through this body-mind complex. Body-mind-intelligence complex. And secondly, what is required to be able to realize that is the correct attitude and the sadhana. What is sadhana? Canceling the mind, making the mind dormant, making the mind to go to sleep, and then awakening from inside to the presence of God, eternal God within us. And with that feeling, we will be able to realize that yes, that inside is not different from my own essence. I really am that. And then when we say Aham Brahmasmi Shivoham Tattvamasi, it will not be mere words. It will be an experience. And that experience alone will make us what we call as realization. We don't mean that we are attaining something. We always have been something. We are Brahma. We are Shiva. We are the essence of Swami. We are the spark that brightens and makes this light or fan to move. But we never remember the source. It is very difficult to sometimes remember the source of where we are coming from. What is our true essence? What is not the essence looks like a reality. What is actually the reality does not look like a reality. It is hidden somewhere below. It is hidden somewhere deep within the depths of your heart. To explore that, to make it viable, to make it to blossom, and to be able to realize that is the, what Swami says is the purpose of our lives. Let's pray to Bhagwan. Let's pray to Bhagwan that He gives us the strength, the focus, the earnestness. That word is very important. Earnestness. I have to. Like there is no tomorrow. When Socrates, some disciple came and said, Socrates, where is God? I can't see Him. He said, come with me to the river. And put his head down into the water. And the fellow could not breathe for a long time. And he was turning blue. And then he took him out and said, no, did you see God? He said, what God? I was about to die. What did you want the most? I wanted air the most. When you want God like that air, you will realize God immediately. That earnestness that I will die if I don't realize God today. Like Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, he would forget body, mind and soul. And he would just go and say, mother, 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 where are you? Where are you? Without you appearing before me at this very moment, I will die. And the mother will appear, is it not? Every time and converse with him and console him. He is waiting for us to intensify our sadhana and change our attitude to the rightful attitude. And then, the delay is not from his side. We are the culprits for all this delay. Right? Let's not delay anymore. Let's pray to Swami to give us the strength and the vision and the earnestness to realize the purpose of our life, that He and we are not different essentially from each other. I think we will stop here. Thank you very much, Jai Sai Ram.
My Lord, I look at the times that we live in and all of the trials we've been given. My Lord, now we've a dreaded new pestilence, for which our bodies have no defense. And some say that there's evidence that this may not be simply coincidence. And my Lord, if this is true, there's nothing that we can do except trust in You, because my side, You are our own. shower your grace over the whole human race. Sigh, send us your love. Send us your love. My Lord, I look at the children we've been given and the world that they now have to live in. Drugs and we have guns sold to our daughters and our sons, and kids are killing just for fun. My Lord, I fear our troubles have just begun. And my Lord, we know this is true. There's only one thing to do, help us them and teach them to have faith in themselves and trust in you, because my side, you are our only weapon. Oh, Father, you are our only protection. Lord, please won't you shower your grace.
I can feel that we have loved before. Because you are everything to me. Everything which has been, which is, and which will ever be.
Love me like sigh.
my Lord, you are my everything, Baba, you are my life.
Your the death of hate and the knowledge that the best is yet to come. Oh, yes, you've come to teach us that it is time to realize we're embodiments of the divine. You've always said it so.
Someone else. cabin and pull him to land. So if God has come before, he would not wait and ignore that we need him to dive in and pull us safely ashore. And that's what he's done. Long ago, and he has kept his word, but we don't always say that we know, out of fear that some will think that it's absurd. And while it's true that God is everywhere, he's even in the heart of man. But today I must confess that we're all very blessed, for we're privileged to see God walking on land. Now think, would anyone stand and watch a drowning man? No, you dive in and pull him to land. So if God has come before, he would not wait and ignore that we need him to dive in and pull us safely ashore. And that's what he's done. He's come for you and me, so that we.